Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever time of the day it is you're listening to this podcast. Welcome to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. And how's everybody doing out there, Eagles Nation? Have you recovered from the Eagles' early exit from the postseason? As I mentioned in my recap podcast, it wasn't one that I really knew that it was going to be hard for me to get over. I didn't expect the Eagles to win. Playing with house money, and I know it's kind of a chintzy term to use at times, but it really was. I mean, the Eagles weren't expected to make the playoffs this year. It was a rebuilding year for sure. It was a, we had a rookie quarterback in all intents and purposes with Jalen Hurts. He only had 4 games experience in the previous season and really wasn't named the starter. He just was kind of like filling in. And, they had a really good draft, a lot of young players that contributed to this team. And fortunately, we talked about it briefly during the last podcast. They hit on a lot of the picks from last year. So hopefully carry that momentum into this draft because, you know, this upcoming draft, they got 3 first-round picks. And they got a lot of drafts and a lot of picks in general. But especially, the 3 first-rounders, which I believe are the 15th, 16th, and 19th, I want to say. I believe that's the 3 that they have in the first round. So, you know, let's go Howie. You got to nail these. And it's a little bit easier when you got 3 in the first round, or at least hit on a couple of them, you would think. But let's hit all 3. Why not? We got some momentum. Like I said, he drafted well last year. And if they can hit on these 3, or at least 2 out of 3, I mean, really hit and get some really solid plays in here and then have a solid remaining draft, you know, this could quickly turn around in terms of having a really promising young team going forward. So, main reason why I'm having a podcast, like I said, from this point forward, they're gonna drop on occasion. You know, they might be random. I might do 1 a week. I might do a couple a week. It all depends on the news, and certainly there was some today with both Coach Sirianni and GM Howie Roseman coming and setting up a press conference and talking to the media. So I definitely have a lot of commentary about them. I could not remain silent after hearing what they had to say today, and we're gonna certainly talk about that. And I'll give you what my thoughts are about what they said. And, maybe some further commentary on the playoff game and just how some players played and just how the team played. You know, I know I gave my recap thoughts already, and nothing's really changed. I might have just forgot to mention a couple of things. And so I might get into that a little bit. I don't expect a really long program here. Just wanted to touch base with everybody. Thank you all again for tuning in to the podcast. Make sure, it's especially important now because with the season over with, not sure exactly when I'll be doing podcasts, with the only exception being of any major news events that might break. Certainly we'll be talking a lot. I'll probably do a series of podcasts during free agency. And obviously the draft, we're going to talk about that a lot. And when we get to the draft shows, I believe that will be the 1-year anniversary of this podcast. So, with that said, what I was about to get to was make sure that whatever platform that you are listening on, that you hit the follow button or subscribe or whatever that button is, that you can make sure that you're notified whenever a new podcast drops of Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff so that you don't miss it. And if you're able to send me a comment, that would be great as well. And like the program, that always helps too. So thank you for tuning into the podcast. And for those of you who have been with me for the majority of the season or, you know, from the beginning, or even ones that this might be your first podcast tune in, thank you very much for being here, and I hope you get a lot out of this program. Like I said, just to give you just the genesis of my thoughts about when I started this podcast, I'm just an Eagles fan of over 40 years of fanhood, diehard. I don't work for the Eagles. I don't work for the press or the media. The point of this program is to give you, the audience, a fan's perspective, what I consider a knowledgeable fan's perspective, and hopefully I was able to build up my credibility throughout the podcast this year. I encourage anyone to go back and listen to any of my recaps from the games or pre-draft analysis or any of the podcasts. This is number 47. A lot of my predictions were accurate. A lot of my thoughts on the team were pretty much spot on. Not that I was right about everything I said, and this is not to pat myself on the back. But like I said, when I'm trying to establish credibility for my audience, I'm going to point out where I was right, and I definitely don't hesitate to point out where I was wrong. I was wrong quite a few times this year as well with certain predictions for games especially. But anyway, what I wanted to touch base on today was Coach Sirianni and Howie Roseman both spoke to the media. And the biggest talking point coming out of this press conference was both of them really backing Jalen Hurts as the starting quarterback going forward. They came right out and said it, that Hurts is the starting quarterback. Now, how much does that mean on January 19th? As much as they were pretty strong in sending that message today. There was no, finagling around the question. They answered it directly. Especially Sirianni, just, he seemed even more certain and more strong in his acknowledgement that Hurts is the starter. And then Howie backed him up, or, Howie just basically said the same thing for sure. And it does appear that Hurts is the guy going forward. Now, there's a lot of reasons why that makes sense, okay? From a salary cap standpoint, they're paying Wentz peanuts for the next couple of years, even if he is in fact their starter and continues to be. So you could use and allocate that money to other aspects of your team, which is huge to have that advantage right now when most teams are pouring, millions and millions and millions and a large percentage of their spending cap to the quarterback position. Right now, the Eagles are not spending anything on that position right now. So from that standpoint, it makes sense. From Hurts' age standpoint, he's only 23. It makes sense to give him another year to see if he is, in fact, the guy. One of the comments that I heard today, and I forget who said it, but I totally agree with it. They basically said, whether it's Jalen Hurts next year or if the Eagles brought in a guy like Russell Wilson, for hypothetical purposes, the Eagles are not going to win a Super Bowl next year. They're not ready. They're not a ready now team like that. So with that being said, why would you bring in Russell Wilson? Now, the counter argument to that is, how often does a quarterback the caliber of Russell Wilson become available? So there's something to be said about that as well. So, and that's where, as much as they emphatically are saying that Jalen Hurts is the quarterback here on January 19th, 2022, a lot can change between now and July. Okay. There's free agency, and there's a draft, and there's everything in between. So, and we know how much Howie and Jeffrey, but Howie especially, loves Russell Wilson coming out of that draft back in 2012, it was, I believe. That was their guy. Now, ironically, they ended up drafting Nick Foles in that draft. So how just amazing how that, how ironic that is. So, but they were in love and fully expecting Andy Reid and Howie to draft Russell Wilson that year. And Seattle came in and swiped them in the third round. So that caught the Eagles off guard. They never really fully recovered from that. They talk about it a lot to this day. And so if he does come available, and obviously it appears that Seattle is willing to move him, what Howie and Sirianni both said today, I don't know. Well, I guess time will tell. if they're really going to stick to their guns. Because there's no question, especially Sirianni basically said that, you know, Jalen knows that he's our guy. So, but again, it'd be pretty easy for them to justify Hurts not being their guy if they bring in a guy like Russell Wilson. So, you know, I like I said, I think it appears certainly, because they did really come out and both of them say it, stand by and Hurts, that it doesn't appear that they're going to be going after Russell Wilson. But it's all subject to change, folks. Anything can happen. Howie actually did acknowledge that later on in the press conference. So I'm not here to tell you that what the Eagles said today was completely and intentionally misleading. I don't think so. I think my read on it is that they do intend to have Jalen Hurts as their starter next year. That, you know, Howie's always going to have an open ear and look into improving the team whatever way he can. And so that's where it gets a little wishy-washy in terms of, or a little uncertain. I won't say wishy-washy because that has a negative connotation. But I will say that, you know, things can change. And I'll just leave it at that. But it's definitely a vote of confidence for Hurts. It's good for the team to hear that because, you know, Hurts is very well liked in the locker room. And like I said, he's got all of those leadership intangibles. He's got a lot of the intangibles that you want in your quarterback. Some of those to me, and I talked about them on the recap game with Tampa, took a hit a little bit. Like I always said that he, you know, never gets rattled or never seems rattled. You know, he does get a little skittish and leave the pocket too soon, but I've never seen him like overwhelmed and rattled in a game. And I've said that all podcast season long, consistently. But I have to say, on this past weekend against Tampa Bay, in the playoffs, he definitely was rattled for the first time that's ever I've seen him rattle. He was way off his game. And that's alarming. But like I said, you know, because it's the playoffs and he's 23 years old, I'm willing to give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt there. It kind of almost validates, or maybe not validates, it kind of heightens a little bit my concerns about leaving the pocket too soon and things of that nature. When I saw him really leave the pocket too soon and actually look rattled during the game, but I'm still going to kind of lean towards giving the benefit of the doubt as far as the rattled part, because he's pretty much always been poised and always been composed, and never, no matter how bad of a game he's been playing during the course of the season, or, you know, throwing an interception or just having a bad play or whatnot, he's never shown at all that he's ever been rattled by any of it until I saw signs of it against Tampa in the playoffs. So, like I said, not to belabor the point, but to me, the question comes down to, okay, I can understand, like I said, it makes sense for the Eagles to make this decision. It really does. Even though I have these concerns about Hurts, you know, especially with the arm accuracy and his throwing accuracy and his decision-making, those are really the two areas for me. There's three total, but those are the main two. His accuracy, throwing downfield, and his ability to read defenses quick enough. Those are my main two. And a third would be, which is a concern, is just not having the pocket awareness and leaving a pocket even though it's still intact and he still has more time too soon, which he did repeatedly in the Tampa Bay game. Those three areas he needs to improve on. Now, here's the key. And this is the point that this is why I think it makes sense. Hurts did improve over the year. You know, he did show some improvement, and I made note of it during my podcasts or my preview games or my post games of areas where he made some improvements, including pocket awareness. There were some games where he did kind of hang in the pocket longer and not try to run out quicker. He did. So you could see that he was definitely trying to work on that. And I think it all went out the window during his playoff game, which is why I said I think this is the first time this year I've seen him actually be rattled during the game, where he just forgot about all that and just was, you know, just off his game completely. But so, and apparently he improved on his passing percentage. I don't ever break down the numbers typically as much as I've heard today, but I think his passing percentage from last year, which is only four games, small sample size, I think it went from like 51 to 60, 50 something to 61. He was 61% on passes, completion percentage this year. And I think last year was in the mid 50s or low 50s, something around there. So he did show some improvement in that area. You know, so the question is, what is Jalen Hurts' ceiling? And that's what we really need to find out. You know, he needs to continue to improve, certainly, because this Jalen Hurts that we got this year is not good enough to start in the NFL. But if he continues to improve, you know, maybe his passing efficiency gets up to 65, 66% effective next year. And, you know, his touchdown passing yards go up and passing touchdowns go up, and he's not so quick to run the ball all the time, leave the pocket, and things of that. When you start seeing these little incremental improvements, including accuracy and things like we've talked about, then you got to ask yourself, you know, how high is this ceiling? You know, can you continue to develop Jalen Hurts into an above average to star quarterback in this league? You know, what is his ceiling? He's 23 years old, you know. And there's some people out there, and I don't know what their credentials are. I've just seen some feedback and people spinning out these things saying, well, you know, if you saw the Jalen Hurts, which I did back in college, one guy even said high school, he's dramatically improved, you know, since then. But, well, first of all, I hope that you improved by high school. But he played for a big college program. And if he is, and I didn't watch much of him in college, I'm going on some people who were fans of Oklahoma, especially, as well as Alabama, who said, you know, he's always been kind of a dynamic player who could certainly have, you know, his legs get him out of, he's got that ability to escape pressure and make plays out of nothing. But in the NFL, you can't be doing that all the time. You know, Michael Vick never won a world, almost like a World Series, a Super Bowl, right? Lamar Jackson hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. Randall Cunningham never won a Super Bowl. Fran Tarkenton never won a Super Bowl. Steve McNair never won a Super Bowl. I'm just trying to name some quarterbacks who could run. Cam Newton never won a Super Bowl. So, and I'm not trying to say that they can't, but the point is none of them were what you would consider to be great passers. You know, Vic had an amazing arm. He had a rocket booster for an arm. But he wasn't always the most accurate quarterback, and he also wasn't he wasn't all that great at reading the defense. That was Vic's shortfalls. Same with Cunningham. Cunningham really didn't become a really good quarterback till later in his career, after he played for the Eagles and when he was with Minnesota. Maybe Randy Moss might have had a lot to say about that too, but it's not like the Eagles didn't have any weapons for him at wide receiver in Philly. He just, you know, Buddy Ryan was really focused on defense and never really helped develop Randall as a quarterback. I won't get into Tarkenton. I just kind of mentioned him. I was too young to remember when he played. And I know he ran up against some really great teams. Tarkenton did. Steelers, when he was quarterbacking. So I'm not going to touch on him too much. I'm just saying he was a running quarterback or a quarterback that could run. And Lamar Jackson, as great as he has been, he hasn't won anything. So point is, what is Jalen Hurts' season or ceiling? That's the question. How high is Jalen Hurts' ceiling? The tape, you know, the ones that have analyzed the tape, and I didn't even need to see the tape as far as the Alt 22. I saw on TV how bad Hurts looked in that game, but apparently the people that are in the know, the analysts throughout the league who have looked at the Alt 22 coaching tape, said it was really bad for Hurts. And that's not going to be surprising to anybody out there, I would hope. Because he was really bad, but I'm just saying the tape really confirmed how off he was in that Tampa game. And again, look, I don't want anyone out there to think that I'm anti-Hurts or bashing Hurts. I overall like Jalen Hurts, and I want him to do well. Because I tell you what, if this guy can learn and where his shortfalls are and really work on him. And I think he will definitely work on him. That's the other thing about Hurts. I think he's got a great worth ethic. And I believe that he will, you know, take the constructive criticism about areas where he needs to improve and work on it this offseason. I absolutely believe and he will do that. And that's why Jalen's just an awesome leader and just athlete altogether. He's a lot of those things. But what is his ceiling? Okay, so no matter how hard he works on his accuracy, right? No matter how hard he works at trying to become a more, you know, work the pocket more and pocket awareness, no matter how much he tries to be able to read defenses better, what is his ceiling in each of those areas? Can he vastly improve in all three of those areas? Maybe. Everyone's got limitations. Everyone's got that breaking point where it's just not gonna happen any further past this particular mark. So where is Jalen? Where is Jalen's mark? That's what we're gonna find out. And I think the Eagles giving him another year makes sense. Salary cap wise, the ability to use instead of trading away, you know, two or three of those first round picks and building the team around Hurts and growing this team and turning it around. To me, it makes sense to give Hurts another year, use those draft picks coming up. For me personally, I'd go defense. That's just my thought, at least right now. That might change by draft day. But I think we know we need to build this defense. And I think our offense is almost pretty much set. I think we could use a veteran wide receiver in here to play opposite of Smith, but that's free agency. So that's kind of my early thoughts as far as how I would try to put this team together next season. So that said, let's also talk about some of the other discussions or areas of discussion that were brought up during the press conference. Interestingly enough, Sirianni said that Quez Watkins was the number two and that Jalen Reagor was the number three wide receiver. He has not said that or made mention of that at all during the entire season or going into this season when Jalen was clearly the number two and Quez was the slot guy. Sirianni today said Quez is the number two right now and Reagor would be working more in the slot. So, or is the number three. I don't know if he necessarily said the slot, but he said Reagor was the number three. So clearly not that anyone in the coaching staff could have possibly missed how horrible Reagor was this year. You know, Sirianni's comments today confirmed that he has been slipping down the depth chart. And he's now the third. And like I said, I don't consider Quez Watkins a number two personally. I think Quez would be perfect in the slot. I think they need to get rid of Reagor. And I think they need to bring in a veteran number two wide receiver. And there's some guys that are going to be out there that I would definitely be interested in, or some guys you might want to pick up the phone and see if they're available. Like I mentioned earlier in the one of my earlier podcasts, somebody like Tyler Boyd of Cincinnati. You know, the Bengals are loaded at wide receiver. Obviously, they have the young star Ja'Marr Chase. They have T. Higgins. And Boyd has kind of fallen down to the third guy there, and he's a guy that's better than a third wide receiver. You know, I think Tyler Boyd is very good, and I think he'd be a perfect number two here in Philly. I've mentioned that name before. There's also some rumors floating about for the Chargers, Mike Williams. I would even like Mike Williams better because then it gives you a big target and a guy that can out-physical pretty much anybody for the ball. I think Williams, you know, he had a great year this year. Of course, he has a great quarterback thrown to him. So, again, that always helps, you know. That always helps you when you got, you know, Justin Herbert throwing to you. But Mike Williams had a sort of a breakout season, and he played pretty well the season before. So he, and the size that he has, that would really be another veteran I could see coming in here. Allen Robinson has been floating around. I like Allen Robinson a lot. He was banged up this year, and he he had lousy quarterbacking, and, you know, speaking of quarterbacking in Chicago. So that would be another guy that I think could help out here. So that's what I would do. Rager, to me, I think I've seen enough. And it's really because of his body language and his attitude. I don't see the guy improving. I don't see him having a work ethic to improve. I'm having trouble saying that, the phrase today, work ethic, like that Jalen Hurts does. I know Jalen Hurts is committed and will try to do whatever he can to improve in the areas where he knows he has some flaws. I don't get that impression from Jalen Rager. He just has bad body language. I think he's got a bad negative attitude. He seems to blame everybody but himself. And this is not good. He just gives off negative energy. And so it wouldn't, you know, I don't know if they're going to get rid of him. There's certainly no talk today about them getting rid of Rager during the press conference. You know, he's a first-round pick. It's going to be hard for Howie to cut a first-round pick, even as bad as he is. I think you just got to cut your losses with him, personally. Like I said, Smith, you got it. The one, bring in a guy, you know, I mentioned the players' names that I would consider bringing in as the number two veteran receiver, and move Quez to the third slot. There you go. And to me, that's where I'd go, you know, as far as the wide receiver position. So, you know, we're coming up on the half-hour mark. I don't really have much more to talk about today. Those were kind of the highlights. You know, Howie, I'm trying to read Howie, you know. Howie, he's got some tells, you know, as I've gotten to know him, not know him personally, but I'm just got some reads on him over the years. And he's always nervous at these press conferences, like these kind of press conferences, where you got to recap the season, or, you know, so he's got a different tone to him. And I want you guys to do this, okay, to kind of maybe see what I'm talking about. So, and you might even be able to do this now, because you can go back to, like, last year and just look at his, like, pre-draft or post-draft press conference and how sort of confident he is and how he's almost like playful to the media, like joking with them. Whereas all these season ending or like when he had to deal with the Wentz issue, he's nervous. He definitely gets nervous in front of the press at times. And today again he wasn't like overly nervous. You could tell he's a little nervous. His voice quivers a little bit. So that's where it's like, what's the real Howie story? What's his really thinking in his head? And it was often a lot of the questions about Hurts when he was giving off that sort of nervous energy. So I don't want to read too much into it. I'm not trying to, you know, be like some sort of conspiracy theorist and say that, you know, what everything Howie said today is, you know, is lying. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that as much as I do believe that Hurts is the starter and it seems like the organization is backing him, that it doesn't guarantee anything. And I'll just leave it at that. Okay? I think the Eagles would be interested if Wilson and the Seahawks gave him a call. I think there would be a conversation. I don't know where that conversation would go and what it would lead to, but Howie would take the call. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. You know. And, you know, after watching the Tampa game, that's why he would pick up the phone. And I'll just leave it at that. All right, so that's all I got. Like I said, just wanted to touch base. I thought it was important to have a podcast today and then talk briefly about the press conference and especially about Hurts and what they said and how they're committed to Hurts going forward, how they hit on Rager, and much more to come. I don't know when my next podcast will be. I'll try to do at least probably one a week. You know, we'll see. Maybe next week I won't even really be Eagles related. It's always going to have Eagle content in it, but maybe I'll just talk about the playoffs. You know, I mean, we're all football fans. I know we're all Eagle fans, but we're all football fans, and maybe I'll just do a quick touch up on you know the key games this weekend. And it is cool, by the way. Speaking of other games, how great was it? And I know I gave an update during the podcast, my last podcast, when Dallas was losing their game against the 49ers, and ultimately they lost. And did they not lose in such wonderfully pleasing, humorous fashion as an Eagle fan? My God, did I enjoy how Dallas went down. They run a quarterback sneak or draw with 14 seconds left in the game, no timeouts, and ran out of time because the ref was a little bit late getting to the ball. He's got to touch the ball before they could snap it. That's just a league rule. And, you know, Zach got in the way because he was trying to hurry and gave the ball to the center versus the referee. The center can't hike it until the ref touches the ball. Ref's trying to get back to get the ball as time's ticking away. 3, 2, 1, and they snap it a second late, and the game ends. Just, I mean, as an Eagle fan, you could not have enjoyed that enough. How fun that was. Not only watch Dallas lose, but to lose that way was just poetry. Just, I don't know. It took a lot of the sting away from the Eagles' loss, I can tell you that. And like I said, I had low expectations. I didn't expect the Eagles to win. I definitely expected them to play better. I thought they would be competitive in the game. Totally wrong about that. The Eagles got blown out. Which stunk, you know. And a lot of it was because of Hurts. And a lot of it was because of Sirianni's play calling. And, Dallas going out was sweet, sweet music. So, yeah, I may touch on, may come back later next week and talk a little bit about the playoffs. And maybe there'll be some more Eagles news. They one other thing coming out of the press conference, was they asked about Brooks. And, you know, the rumor that we've heard that he was retiring, and Howie said nothing about him retiring. Didn't even acknowledge the question really about him retiring, but just didn't acknowledge it. Didn't answer the question, one way or the other. He just said that, that he hasn't really talked to him, and that he just continues to, get over his injury. So he really dodged the question. So I don't know really what that means. I mean, if he's going to retire and that was true, I don't know why Howie wouldn't just come out and confirm it. So, but he didn't do that. So I don't know. I don't know where that rumor came from either. But I did see it yesterday. But again, no confirmation of that today. So I don't know. I guess we'll just see how that goes. I don't know what they would do. I would imagine that even if Brooks does not retire, that he would be one of the guys that they would probably look to trade or release. I don't know how much of a cap hit he would have, but I think the Eagles have depth at the line now where they could free up some space potentially to spend it on other areas and let Brooks go. But I guess we'll see. I don't want to throw any rumors out there, but he didn't, like I said, he didn't confirm or deny Brooks's retirement status. So I guess we'll just wait and see what comes out of that. All right. Well, anyway, that's going to do it for now. I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you again for tuning in to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. Really appreciate you tuning into the podcast. Again, hit that follow button or subscribe button from whatever platform you're listening on. And I am now on Apple and Google and iTunes, and I'm pretty much everywhere. So, use the platform that you're listening to the show on now, or you could even just Google search Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff, and it'll come up on various links to the program. So appreciate you tuning in. Thank you very much for that. Hopefully you've gotten over the loss. I think this team's got a bright future ahead. I think they're making a lot of the right decisions as far as, what I heard today. Like I said, it makes sense, and I've talked about why it makes sense to give Hurts another chance. But again, things can change. So I'll say, And I'm not just saying it's just Wilson either. Say Aaron Rodgers somehow, you know, becomes available in Green Bay. What will the Eagles do then? I don't know. I don't know. But they definitely, definitely, and I'm not trying to dismiss what they said today. It absolutely, definitely sounds like they are committed to Jalen Hurts going forward. So he's just going to have to work on his areas of improvement and come back next year and, you know, give it another go, you know. All right. That's it for now. Eagles Nation, appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you come back for the next podcast. And again, don't forget to hit that subscribe button or follow just so you don't miss when the next podcast drops. Until then, thank you for tuning in again. Fly, Eagles, fly. Take care of yourselves, and we'll talk to you soon.